Amen. Thank you, preacher. Take your Bible tonight and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah tonight, chapter number six. Nehemiah chapter number six tonight in the Word of God this evening. I want to say while you're turning there that that music is second to none. Wonderful singing by everyone tonight. All of you did a great job tonight. And those ladies that sung that song a cappella, and they even sung it without music, did a good job tonight. And man, they hit notes. And I'm when I get to heaven, I'll get a glorified body, and God will give me a glorified voice. Amen. And I'll be able to sing good when I get to heaven. I've got it in me now. I just can't get it out. It's in me, but I can't get it out. But I enjoyed that tonight. Let's stand together. Nehemiah chapter number 6 tonight. Verse number 1 of this chapter. And I want to read just 3 verses tonight. And I want to preach tonight with the help of God out of this chapter to the church tonight. I told the pastor riding down the road today that my burden is revival. My burden is to build the local church, is to see God's people on fire and encouraged and enjoying the journey. The greatest power source on the face of this earth is the church of Jesus Christ. And I believe that the church is too silent and that we need to make our voice known that we are alive and well. In the book of Nehemiah, just a moment before I read, you know this book pretty well, I'm sure. It's one of the great books of the Bible that deals with God's people working together for a common purpose to build for the glory of God. Nehemiah in chapter 1 got a burden. He saw that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. And Nehemiah got a burden. And let me say this tonight. You will never see revival. You will never see God move unless somebody gets a burden. Somebody gets a desire and says, God, we want to see you move. Nehemiah got that kind of burden. Now, Nehemiah had an interesting job. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Now, that's not a job that everybody would want. Because the cupbearer was the one that would taste the food for the king and would taste the drink for the king. And if Nehemiah, the cupbearer, would die from what he tasted or what he ate, the king's life would be spared. There were a lot of people in those days that wanted the throne. And so a lot of people would try to kill the king. And so Nehemiah's job was to taste it first. If he lived, then it would go to the king. I don't know that I'd want that job. And I certainly wouldn't want that job for one of our presidents. Amen. Any of them. So Nehemiah finally gets the word and understands that the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. And the Bible said that Nehemiah got a burden because of that. And God put that burden in his heart. And then the Bible says that Nehemiah went before the king, and the king noticed that Nehemiah's countenance was different. That tells me that Nehemiah always had a good countenance around the king. Nehemiah was asked by the king, "Why is your countenance fallen?" Nehemiah's heart begins to break. And he said, because the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. And then Nehemiah prays. God allows Nehemiah to go. And those group of people began to build the walls. Before long, working hand in hand, the Bible said, Nehemiah said, the hand of God is upon me, and the people strengthened together and joined together for this good work. as the walls are going up, there rises opposition. Don't you listen tonight. Anytime you're trying to do anything for God, there will be opposition. If the devil's not fighting you, you're not bothering him. I promise you, if you try to do something for God, there will be opposition. There were some fellas by the name of Tobiah, Sanballat. There were those that were determined that they were going to stop the building of the wall. And that's where we come to chapter 6. After they had slandered, after they had tried, and they didn't know no other way to do it, they went after the man of God. And they invited him to a place called Ono. I preached a message some time ago on you better say no to Ono. But tonight, I want you to look with me at three verses in chapter number 6. Verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Gershom sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Here's verse number 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a good, great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? I want to preach a few moments tonight to the church. Your pastor now has been here some, preacher, 40 plus years. 41 years. That's pretty faithful. Your pastor has been through a lot of things. But to be totally honest tonight, he would not have a church if it were not for you. Understand tonight that Morningstar Baptist Church would not be what it is today if it were not for the people that God has put in it. I look back over my ministry now of since I was 20 years old. 25 years of my life, with the exception of 2 in evangelism, I have been pastoring a Baptist church. Both of those churches, we've seen God do great things. The one I'm in now, I'm more excited than I've ever been to see what God's doing in a local church. But without the Brother Dons, without the trios, without the guitar players and the fellow that played the banjo and sung, without the choir, without the Sunday school workers, without the children's workers, without Faith Promise, without everything you do, I'm telling you, the work could not get done. And so the devil will constantly try his best to eliminate you from the work. Tonight I want to preach on this thought. Don't leave your post. Let's bow together and pray. Father, we appreciate tonight the good singing, the fellowship, the good spirit. But God, we need now to hear from you. God, all day through prayer, today when I had an opportunity to meditate upon your word, I am convinced that this is the message you wanted. God, bless tonight your word. Thy word is truth. All God's people said, you be seated tonight. I have the wonderful privilege many times to travel in some of the same churches year after year. This year in my schedule, there are churches that I've been to 4 and 5 and some 6 and 7 years. And I've got to know a lot of those people as I'm beginning to get to know some of you. As I drove into the parking lot today and the secretary is walking across the parking lot, in a lot of churches I wouldn't do this, but I pulled my truck in behind her. She didn't see me come in, and I waited until I got a few feet from her and blew the horn. And she looked at me like a drill sergeant, and I thought, man, I'm in trouble. I wouldn't do that a lot of places, but I've got to know her through letting me in the gym throughout the day and helping her chase the ghosts in the upstairs floors of the gym. And we've got, and Brother Don, I began to know Brother Tommy, Miss Myra, and then I could go on and on. I even smiling her husband, and I even noticed he was smiling in the choir tonight. And he says it's because he's married to her. I thought he loved Jesus, but I guess that, anyway, that'll do. But tonight, I want you to understand, after I go year after year to some places, there is one thing that really troubles me. And that is the people that are missing. There have been many a times that someone was playing the guitar and someone was playing the bass and someone was singing a special and someone was in the choir and someone used to be the shouter when I preached, and I'd look around the church and that person would be gone and they wouldn't be there, and I'd look around and I'd say, Pastor, where is so-and-so at? Now, I do understand. Sometimes people go to other places. I've had a few to do that I believe some went because it was God's will, and others went because it was their will. But that's between them and God. But those tonight I'm not talking about. I'm talking tonight about those that just leave the wall. I'm talking about those that just quit. And I know what you would say tonight. You would say, Pastor Haslip, I want you to understand, I'm not planning on quitting. I'm going to be faithful. I want to stay in the work of the Lord. My friend, that's my desire. I'm sure that's your desire. But there is a devil that has a different desire, and he will try everything he can to get you off the wall. Now listen to me. This is Wednesday. I'm preaching to you in my pastor mode. There's a lot of things that break my heart in church. I hate to see someone go through trials. Ma'am, I didn't know what you were praying about, but believe it or not, in my heart, I was hurting for you because you're a child of God. Tonight, setting up here, listening to that music, I was thinking about my church tonight and my associate pastor and the cancer that he's battling. I was thinking about a 13-year-old young man in our church that also just finished a battle with cancer with a 16% survival rate. But God. But tonight, what really breaks my heart as a pastor is to watch people walk away. Get away from God. Quit on the Lord. And never get back in. And somewhere down the line, the devil approached the wall and said, hey, come off the wall. We want to meet you in the plain of Ono. Come and talk to us. And somewhere down the line, somebody got off the wall. That's why people like your pastor are heroes to me. Now you listen. 41 years. Oh, there have been many hardships. There have been many days when building the wall, it was a struggle. There have been many times when he went to bed at night, he'd cry himself to sleep. There have been many times he'd agonize through the midnight hour as he wondered what was going on in some of your lives. There have been many times riding down the road, his heart and mind was on that missionary that can't get by and that church that needs the help. And many times in his life, while building that wall, it hasn't always been easy. But for 41 years, he's been faithful. in building the wall. You know what I told my church Sunday? One lady thought I was resigning. I mean, literally, I had people look at me like, what are you doing? Because I stood in the pulpit and I said, I'm getting ready to finish my 7th year at Calvary. I was 15 years the church in Burlington I was at. And I'm getting ready to finish my 7th year. And I told him, we've seen God do great things. The church attendance is overly doubled. And we've seen missionaries go up to $200,000 in faith promise missions. And we've seen God bless and God move. And I said, I've appreciated the time God's given me here. And they're all looking at me like, what is he doing? And then I said to them, but Calvary Baptist Church would not be what it is today if it were not for the people around me that make it what it is. See, there's a lot of you that may walk in this building tonight and you may think, well, I'm really not that important. I beg you to differ. Friend, I want you to know you are very important to the work of God. You are very important to the cause of Christ. And God needs you at Morningstar Baptist Church. The Apostle Paul faced people that quit. He said one time in Galatians 5 verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He said in another time, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul said he had people to get off the wall, people to quit. Now, if God would allow me just a couple of moments tonight, and I'm not going to be lengthy. This message is not long, and I have some traveling tonight, but I want to make sure that I don't rush in what I want to give you tonight. I want to give you reasons tonight why I'm not going to leave my post. Now I want to say this to you tonight. Brother, I mean this with all my heart, what I'm getting ready to say. I would rather for God to take me. I would rather to Brother Tommy to go meet God right now than I had to quit on him or to shame his work. Amen. God's been too good to me. God's allowed me to do the greatest thing in all the world. I'm around preachers sometime and they gripe about this and gripe about that. Friend, can I tell you right now, I don't have any complaints. God's been better to me than I'd ever deserve. God's been good to me and allowed me to serve him. Some time ago, I was preaching a meeting and I got done preaching in a church down in Troy, North Carolina. I was standing up front and a preacher come up to me to ask me, could I do a meeting for him? And when he come up to me, you know, I was going to look at a calendar and see in the next year where I might could come and I pretty much was going to try to help him. And then his wife came up. And when his wife came up, she began to slur and to criticize her church and say, boy, they need some. I could tell in her attitude that she absolutely hated the ministry. And in my heart, I'm thinking, there ain't no way I'm going there and waste my time until, preacher, you get her right and get your family right. So I just kindly told him I was busy. You say, preacher, why? Because, friend, if we're not interested in building the wall, then we're wasting our time. Nehemiah was interested in building the wall, and you got to stay there. You cannot come off the wall. Preacher, what makes you want to stay on your post? First of all, the call of God. The call of God. Hey, you know why I do what I do tonight? Now, can I tell you what my heart's desire was to do in my life? It wasn't preaching. I'm going to tell you what my heart's desire. If I'd have had my way, this is what I'd be doing today. Matter of fact, I was already going to school. I had it made. I was ready to go. I wanted to be a North Carolina highway patrolman. That's what I wanted to do. All my life, I've wanted to work in law enforcement as a state trooper. I've wanted to do that. So right when I got out of school, God saved me. I was going into college, in technical college. I was looking forward to taking law enforcement and training, and God interrupted all of that. Then he sent me to a college in Virginia that was the most liberal garbage I'd ever been in my life. My home church sent me. I got saved in a convention church. They supported that school. The school didn't even believe the Bible was the Word of God. Yeah. Professor told me that I was an idiot if I believed the first five books of the Bible were the Word of God. You said, preacher, God sent you there. He did. Because one day I was sitting in the library studying a Sports Illustrated. You'll get that in a second. And when I was studying that Sports Illustrated, walking across the parking lot was a girl. Her name was Wendy. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. You're going to think I'm crazy. And said, there's your wife. Took me a while to convince her. But after I did, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. We were 7 when we got married. Hey, I'm telling you, understand, you got that, didn't you? Understand that, hey, it's the call of God. Now, I believe God calls one group of people in the Bible, and that's God calls men to preach. Now, don't get offended right here. I have good singers come in my church, but you don't find God calling singers in the Bible. God calls preachers. You say, well now preacher, can God put folks singing in the ministry? Absolutely. Can God use them to sing in the ministry? Sure He can. He can give them a ministry. I have people in my own ministry that God has given a ministry to. But friend, the call of God rests upon people that are called of God to preach the gospel. Now don't you listen. But God does appoint, anoint, and God does choose people to serve Him in positions. You say, preacher, what do you mean? These ladies that sung tonight, the gentleman that played the banjo, those that played the instruments, those in the choir that have ability to sing, that's a God-given talent. That's a wonderful talent. Hey, God put that on their heart to do it for Him. God uses that in their life to be a blessing to other people. That's their way of building the wall. Somebody told me one time, well, it doesn't matter how you sing, just as long as you make a joyful noise. I want to give you a comment. All noise isn't joyful. You ought to try to preach after some of it. Some people got, listen, if you gave me the banjo, my wife's favorite instrument's a banjo. She would have loved that tonight. If you gave me the banjo, it wouldn't be joyful. If I had to sing that song, it wouldn't have been joyful. Hey, if I'd have jumped up and said, hey, ladies, instead of a trio, let's do a quartet on that a cappella song a while ago. You'd have known which one was me. Why? Because that is not my ability. That is not what God placed His hand on me to do. But can I say this? Every one of you in this church, God's got a place for you. You got to work on the wall with your Nehemiah and ask God to use you for the glory of God. The call of God. Secondly, here's why I don't want to leave my post. The constraint of God. Here's what Paul said. For the love of Christ constraineth us. You know why you ought to do what you do for Jesus? Simply one thing. Because you love Him. That's why you play the guitar. You play the bass. That's why you teach a Sunday school class. That's why you give the faith promise. That's why you work in the church. That's why you go on visitation. That's why you do what you do. It's not because you have to. It ought to not be a burden to serve God. It ought to not be a drudge to serve God. But we ought to serve God because we love Him and we want to. And it's the greatest thing in our life. I get so tired of trying to convince people to serve God because they love Him. I had a staff meeting a while back. We have two men full-time on staff with us along with a couple secretaries. And I had them in my office a while back, and this is what I said to them. I said, I'd rather you resign if all you're doing is working a job. If all you want is a paycheck, I would rather you resign. If all you're doing is spending time to get a check at the end of the week, that's not what we need. We need people in our youth ministry. We need people in our senior adult ministry. We need choir leaders. We need Sunday school teachers. We need people that love God. And that's why we do what we do. Amen. The love of Christ constraineth us. He asks you tonight, is it possible, now listen to what I'm going to say, to leave the wall without physically leaving the wall? Is it possible to still be doing what you're doing, but you're not doing it with the love of Christ as a motivation? Boy, you talking about something at church, at home, they don't say around me. When I mention we're going to have choir practice today, and that's two Sundays a month, and then our adult choir practice, when I mention that, and I don't have a problem with four times a month, when I mention that, I better not see them go, oh. Because you know what I'll do? I'll say, ma'am, you don't want to sing? I mean, if you don't, get out of the choir. If you don't want to serve God, let somebody else do it. Hey, if you'd rather just sit in a seat and do nothing, that's one thing. But friend, when you sing, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You say, preacher, why do you want to stay on the wall? Because of the call of God. Secondly, the constraint of God. Thirdly, and I'll just touch on this, the command of God. God requires stewards to be found faithful. That's the command of God. God commands us to be faithful. God wants us to stay true to Him and faithful to Him. But I want to say tonight, the main reason I don't want to leave my post tonight is not only the call of God and the constraint of God and the command of God, but I don't want to leave that post tonight because of the compensation of God. I don't want to leave it, Brother Don, because this world is not my home. The love offering you give me tonight, one of the biggest blessings for me on those love offerings is the ability to be able to help my church with faith promise giving. I tell people all the time, I'm an open book. I don't try to lie to anybody. There's two things I do with love offerings: fake promise, motorcycle tires. Hey, man, my wife doesn't get it to go to Walmart. Hallelujah. Well, actually, she does. But what I want you to understand is my reward is not here. My reward is not in this world. Friend, there is coming a payday. There is coming a day. There is coming a time in my life when I'll receive the reward for what I've done for God, and the greatest joy in my life will be when I hear the Lord say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord." Can I say this tonight? If Morningstar Baptist Church is to be what it needs to be for God, you can't leave the wall. You must stay at your post. And you must be faithful. You play the organ. You play the guitar. You're the secretary. You lead the choir. Maybe you do none of those. But you sat as an encourager in that pew to your pastor and to others. And you do your part to build the wall. But watch tonight. If you leave that wall, somebody's life will be affected. Do you understand that? If you're not on that wall, somebody's life will be affected. I thought the other day, we've had teenagers come about every night to this meeting from other places. I have had the opportunity to be able to see a lot of young people get help from the Lord. And because of my schedule, I was unable to do that youth meeting in Gaffney. They had asked me about that high school, and two or three of those kids come to about every meeting I'm in, and they called me wanting me to go do the high school meeting, and I just couldn't. I told my wife I couldn't hardly lay down at night and go to sleep, because the last thing I'd want to do is let them kids down. And I didn't know how they'd respond to that. I didn't know if they'd be here this week. I know, you know, they're teenagers. I don't know if they might think, man, he don't care about us. But they've been here every night, come up and hug me and told me they love me. You say, preacher, why is that so important to you? Because if I leave that wall, somebody's going to be affected. I'm going to say this tonight. There are empty seats in this building where somebody left the wall. And let's be totally honest, it's affected every one of you. That's why it's so important that we do the work of God and that we stay on the wall until the job's done. Don't ask you a question tonight. Are you working on the wall tonight as much as you ever have? Are you swinging your hammer with joy? Are you putting mortar in between the bricks with joy? Are you helping Nehemiah with joy? You say, well, preacher, I'm here. I want to make a statement to you and then we'll give the invitation. You can leave the church and never leave it. You can leave the church. I made that statement preaching a message in my church at home. A young lady that sits in the middle, her husband is my sound man, runs a sound room for us. Loves God. Family that loves God. Precious family. She had lost a baby through a miscarriage late. And she got really hurt. She couldn't even hardly come to church and see other women toting babies. And believe it or not, she'd got mad at God. She made a statement to me, preacher, of all the people that have children that don't even want them, why wouldn't God let me have this one that I want? She never missed a service, Pastor. She sung in the choir. She wasn't there. She wasn't even close to there. And one Sunday I made that statement. I said, did you know you can leave and never leave? And she began to weep. Tears began to drip off her chin. They have one other little boy, and she grabbed her husband's arm out of the sound room. And they came, made a beeline for the altar, and said, preacher, I'm coming back. Someone would say, but she never left. Not physically. You know why we need revival tonight? It's because there's some of you sitting in this building, you're here physically because you know it's the right thing to do. You're here tonight because you know it's right to serve God. But it's been a while since your heart was here. It's been a while since you really had your heart in it. I want to encourage you tonight during an invitation. If you would say, Lord, I'm physically here and I've been on the wall. But God, I really want to get my heart in this thing. I want you to do something in my church, in my heart. You know how I know there's somebody here like that? Because of the pressure of the Holy Ghost to preach this message tonight. You say, preacher, if I come to the altar, someone's going to think if I come to the altar that my heart's not. Don't really matter what people think. The important thing is tonight is that you're happy serving God. And the joy of the Lord's in you. Pastor had no idea what I was preaching tonight. Do you remember who he quoted from the pulpit? He had no idea what book of the Bible I was going to be in. And he quoted and said, Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm sitting on the front row knowing exactly what I'm going to preach. He didn't have a clue. I want you tonight to have that joy. Let's stand our feet tonight. Some are already coming. This is Wednesday night. You folks are the cream of the crop. You folks tonight are the people that build the wall. The Wednesday night crowd in the average Baptist church are the ones that tithe, give faith promise. It's not the Sunday morning people that never come back. It's you folk that pay the price. Why don't you get on this altar tonight while our pianist plays and say, God, keep my heart in it. God, keep my heart in it. God, let my heart stay in it. God, don't let me just be here. God, get my heart in it. Lord, I want to help build the wall. Morningstar Baptist Church. I want to help build the wall. Hey, Nehemiah, give me a shovel. Hey, Nehemiah, give me some mortar. I want to help build the wall. Ma'am, I appreciate God speaking to you tonight. I've watched Him do it. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, ma'am. God bless your heart. I don't know you, but I pray one thing. God's been speaking to you. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Someone intercede, others on the altar. I'm telling you, friend, God's moved by tonight. God set us down in heavenly places tonight, spoke to us and said, serve me because you love me. Serve me because you love me. Oh God, we plead the blood over every one of them. Hallelujah. Preacher, I wonder, as good as our choir was tonight, good as our singing was tonight, I wonder if we totally sell out to the love of God and do everything we do because we love Jesus. My Lord, I wonder what it'd sound like. If we sung out to the rooftop, oh, how I love Jesus. And we meant it. Man, it'd motivate us, wouldn't it? How can I leave this good work? How can I come off the wall? There's a work to be done. Well, glory, I feel a tug from heaven. Somebody's getting help somewhere in this building. This is one of these times, by me not being a pastor, I don't know who it is, but boy, somebody's getting some help. Preacher, I believe somebody's getting back re-enlisted. Hallelujah. You'd be surprised what Sunday morning would be like if everybody walked in church and everybody walked through the door and said, I'm here because I love Jesus. Lord, you wouldn't be able to contain it. You couldn't do it. Hallelujah. Touch them, Jesus. Boy, I like what your pastor's wife told a doctor this morning. She's been having some of that stomach problem, hurting bad. He said, "Miss Bobby, maybe I ought to put you in a hospital and treat it." She said, "You ain't putting me in a hospital this week." He said, "Why?" She said, "Because we have revival." And she said, "I ain't missing that. I'm talking about the love of God." Brother, I don't know you, but when he come up here, what's your name, sir, that played the banjo? Tim, I don't know you, Tim, but when you came up to play that banjo and sing, your heart was in that. I mean, I can sit there and watch and tell it. Where's that dear lady that sung out, might be on the altar, sung out a cappella song, said they've been praying real hard? And, all right, back here. Ma'am, listen, you tell. Your heart's in it. Your heart's in it. And that's what we got to have. You give me a church of people that's got their heart in it, and we'll build a wall. I'm telling you, I love church building. I love to see churches grow. And they'll do it if you just find a few people who love God. I don't know about you, but I think I'll stay on the wall. I think I'll stay on the wall. Because one day it's going to be over. Hallelujah. One day that old ship is going to come into port. The sails are going to come down. The captain of our salvation is going to walk down through the three decks of that ship to a group of people on the bottom called under rowers. And he's going to say, "Boys, lay yours down. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rulers over many." Then the lovely Son of God, I'm feeling a little tug from glory. Then the lovely Son of God gets the privilege of looking at you and saying, "Well done." I ain't talking about Brother Kerrigan saying, "Well done." I'm not talking about Brother Chris saying, "Well done." I'm talking about Jesus with the scars in his hands, looking at you and saying, "You did a good job." Enter into the joy. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about to shout. Go ahead, preach. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.